Welcome to Godergy. I'm your host, Nani Salas. God is all around you. God is with you now and always has been. We've all had those moments in our lives where we have felt down and depressed, and maybe you're experiencing that now. But God is still with you. And maybe, just maybe, that the answer to all depression is the connection with the divine. Maybe the only reason that anyone ever feels depressed or feels down or feels inadequate or unworthy is because they have forgotten that they, too, are part of the divine, that there is a God watching over you, even now and even in your worst and darkest moments. I remember many, many moments in my life where I felt all alone, where I felt helpless and hopeless and didn't know where to turn. And only when I got to the end of my rope, which meant to me just totally giving up, like because I did not know what to do or who to turn to, and no answer seemed to be the right answer. And it was only at that moment that I turned to something greater than me, that I turned to God. And maybe at that time in my life I didn't refer to that energy as God, but nonetheless it was still the divine force and is what I recognize as God now. We have the answers inside of us. They're always there. And I believe that the only reason that we ever have any problems in life is because we forget who we really are, and that the solution to all problems is simply remembering who you really are. And in remembering who you really are, you remember God, and that you are God and a part of God, and that God is looking down upon you all at the same time. Now, that might seem like a dichotomy. How can you be God and have God look down upon you and unite these concepts? But, you know, the universe is made of these opposites and these dichotomies, and that in fact we need dichotomies in order for creation and manifestation to take place. And so, yes, you can both be God and have a divine God that not only looks down at you, but loves you, embraces you, looks at you as that golden being, that golden child, because that's who you really are. If we remembered that we were this divine force, this source of divinity, and that also that we were God and that God is inside of us, there would never be anything to worry about. There would never be anything to be depressed about. How could there be? Do you think God gets depressed? Now, I think that's a funny question. Do you think God gets depressed? Well, I would think not, because God, in the true essence of what we think of God as, is always in memory of who God is. And that waking up to that memory inside yourself would also awaken you to light and to love and to possibilities. So tonight, in just a few moments, we're going to be talking about overcoming challenges and overcoming depression and overcoming, you know, those shadows in our lives by connecting with the divine, by connecting with God. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that Godergy is the answer to traditional religion that no longer works for you. Or Godergy might be the answer for just discovering God in a deeper level inside yourself. Or Godergy may be your meditation for the week, or a reminder to go back inside and meditate every day. Whatever Godergy is to you, I am so grateful that you're sharing this time with me. Godergy, to me, is a blessing. Godergy was inspired in a meditation about a year or so ago, and my vision for Godergy was to create a special and sacred place live on the air for you to come to find God at a deeper level, to find God inside your heart, to find the divine, the divinity, which is you, and which has always been you. And in fact, there's nothing outside of you that holds the answers. Everything that you've ever been looking for is inside of you. And that's the good news. Because if it's inside of you, then it's always with you no matter what happens. So My beautiful guest tonight, what I'll bring on in just a moment, is my daughter-in-law, and she's been on the show before, April Perry Kreitzer, and she herself has had some battles with darkness and depression. And honestly, if you go out and you ask most people, and if they're really honest with you, and you ask them, have you ever felt depressed, the answer's likely yes, that at one time or another that they have felt depressed. And so the show tonight is for you if you're feeling that way, but the show is also for you if you know anybody who's feeling depressed, and the show is also for you even if you're feeling great and you want a deeper relationship with God, or you want to remember how to get to God at a time that might not be so easy at some point in your life. Many of us are going through many, many challenges at this time on this planet. This is an amazing, amazing time to live. This is the time of transformation. This is the time of enlightenment. This is the time that we each get to wake up. And I'll tell you, sometimes waking up is easy and sometimes it's a little challenging. And often the process of awakening means that we need to let go and give up all that we thought was so important in the past. And this too can cause a shadow effect or an experience of depression because we're still holding on so close to the past, to what we thought was so important to us. And it's interesting because just before the show, I pulled an Osho card. And if you've been listening to this show, you know that I pulled one of these Osho cards. They are Osho meditation cards from the Osho deck. And tonight, I pulled the card of letting go, which I thought was so apropos for tonight's show. And this is what the card says. Letting go. In existence, there is nobody who is superior and nobody who is inferior. The blade of grass and the great star are absolutely equal. But man wants to be higher than others. He wants to conquer nature. Hence, he has to fight continuously. All complexity arises out of this fight. The innocent person is one who has renounced fighting, who is no longer interested in being higher, who is no longer interested in performing. In proving that he is someone special, who has become like a rose flower or like a dewdrop on the lotus leaf, who has become part of this infinity, who has melted, merged, and become one with the ocean, and is just a wave, who has no idea of the I. The disappearance of the I is innocence. When you pull this card, it means that it is a recognition that something is finished, something is completing. Whatever it is, a job, a relationship, a home, you have loved, anything that might have helped you to define who you are, it is time to let go of it, allowing any sadness to go, not trying to hold on. Something greater is awaiting you now. Dimensions are there to be discovered. You are part of the point of no return now. You are past the point of no return now, and gravity is doing its work. Go with it. It represents liberation. Letting go, I think that's a perfect card for tonight, because really what we're talking about is letting go to the divine, letting go to God, and allowing God to flow through us every day and every way. And so before we move on with this discussion tonight, let us do a short meditation. And if you're in a safe place, I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath. And another one after that. And as you continue to breathe deeply, I want you to become aware of that space between the in-breath and the out-breath. And between the out-breath and the in-breath. And just allow your breath to relax you. And that with every in-breath, imagine that you are breathing in gold, sparkly energy. And with every out-breath, you're breathing out any shadows that might be lurking, any darkness, anything that is not in your highest and best good. And with every in-breath, you are breathing in divine, brilliant light. And this light is the light of God. This light is the light of infinity, the light of love, the light of absolute abundance. And as you breathe it in, it moves into every cell in your body. I want you to imagine your heart for a moment. Focus all your attention on your heart. See it in your mind's eye. What does it look like? Is it all sparkling? Or are there some shadowy parts? Look around carefully. Imagine that your heart has four parts to it. The east, west, north, and south part. Look in the east part. Even if you don't know where the east part is, just make it up. Look in the east part. Is there any darkness in the east part? If there is, take another breath and breathe light into the east part of your heart. And even if it is completely light, breathe light into the east portion of your heart. And watch how the darkness, the shadows, immediately turn bright light. And the light that's already there turns even brighter, even more brilliant. Until the whole east portion of your heart is complete bright light. And now, move to the west part of your heart. And notice if there is any darkness or any shadows there. And if there are any darkness or shadows, no need to worry. It's just where you might have held issues or fears from the past, where you haven't let go to God yet. And it's okay to let go. And so, take another deep breath and breathe in more bright light to the west part of your heart. And allow it to completely take over and extinguish any darkness. For we all know that when we add light to darkness, the light always wins. The light always wins. You cannot go into a dark room and flick on a switch and have the darkness and the light fight. Impossible. The light will always win. And so, this part of your heart, this portion of your heart, completely light and bright. And so now the east and west portions of your heart, completely bright with brilliant light of God, of the divine. And now imagine the south part of your heart. And notice if there's any dimness or darkness or shadowy area there. And take another deep breath and allow the brilliant light of the divine of God to move into the south part of your heart. And notice how that darkness just immediately is washed away. And the entire south part of your heart is completely brilliant light and love. And now finally the north part. Notice if there's any darkness in the north part of your heart, any shadows or dimness. And with one more deep breath, bring in more bright light so that the north part of your heart is completely enlightened, completely in brilliant light of love of the divine. And now every portion of your heart is complete bright light. And the segments between your heart, the segments between your heart, the east, west, north, and south, suddenly become one again, one bright star that you now see and experience your heart as a bright, brilliant star in the universe, that you are the shining bright light. And you might notice that as your heart is the shining star in your heart, that every cell in your body wakes up and becomes even brighter in itself. And you might even notice that this bright light, this bright star that's emanating from your heart, moves beyond your body, beyond your heart, beyond your body, beyond. And it goes out into the universe. And it attracts all that you desire, all the abundance and all the love that you desire. That your bright star-lit heart is now a magnet for everything you have ever desired and all the love you could possibly ever imagine. That you are this bright light, that you are the star in the universe. So be it. Take another deep breath. Let it out. Beautiful. And so, I'd like to introduce my beautiful daughter-in-law, April Perry Kreitzer. And I'm so excited to have you on the show tonight, April.
Thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful meditation. I found myself going very deep into that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. As you know, the meditations are not planned. And I'm just, they're one of a kind, never to be repeated again. So if you like a meditation, you know, make sure you listen to the show again. I should put them on my website.
Very powerful.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, it's kind of fun just doing them in the moment, because then it's not me. It's some channeling of divine source coming through me. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Perfect.
So you've had some shadowy times in your life.
Definitely.
Yes. You're laughing about them now, huh?
Not at the time, though.
No, they weren't funny at the time. They're never funny at the time. Because if you could laugh about them at the time, then they don't really exist anymore, do they?
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. So, when can you think of like a particular time in your life that you had experienced depression or darkness of some sort?
I went through periods of depression for years, I would say. Many, many years. Like, it just seemed to be ongoing for me. So I can see where people are just stuck in this depression. It almost just seems like you can never get out of it. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's like it's like a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, part of it, you know, is it has to do with the body chemistry. But what causes that? You know, there's like what comes first, the chicken and the egg. And I'm from the belief, and I'm not a doctor psychologist, but you know, I've been working with people for years, and I definitely coach people around depression and out of depression. And my belief about depression is that it's detaching from who you really are.
Right.
That it's a complete detachment. And when we're not living from who we really are, of course we're going to be depressed.
Right.
We're going to be depressed. And a lot of that is connected to, you know, just forgetting who we are and where we come from as far as a divine source.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say definitely as you were talking, I just felt what it felt like to be in that depressed state. And it's almost like you really do just lose yourself. You just feel like you're a shell. It's almost like you're really numb. Like nothing really has meaning to you. Mm-hmm. Even things that really should have a meaning to you, it's like a push, really, in order to have it mean. It's just, yeah, it's a really numbing feeling, and I think it's just you get to the point where you just don't want to feel anything. You don't want to feel pain, so you just push like every emotion away until it's you just feel nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people will say they would rather feel pain. They like to feel something than nothing.
Right.
So definitely, when you really get stuck in that depression, it's devastating. You really lose yourself. Definitely.
Yeah. It's a depression, a repression.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, everything is pushed down, absolutely. So, and you're right, that the greater into the depression, the less we want to feel, the less we want to do. The idea of, you know, sometimes even getting up out of bed is overwhelming.
Right.
And the question comes like, well, so do you get depressed first and then you lose yourself, or do you lose yourself and then you get depressed? And I believe that we get depressed because we first lose ourselves.
I do too. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And I think also that most people never really know themselves.
Right.
So then there comes to be that question, well, why don't we know ourselves? Why are we so lost that we can't even remember who we really are? And, you know, it's like you have a little baby, my grandson now, so he's 7 months old. And I will imagine that as he gets older and he starts becoming more social and more, you know, he starts going to school and everything, that he is going to be someone who does remember himself and himself. And the reason that I say that is because he's being brought up in this environment where he's encouraged to be his true self.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that seems to be key.
Mm-hmm.
That I know that you were brought up in an environment where you were not encouraged to be your true self, and even got punished for, you know, any expression of being your true self.
Right.
And the same was true for me. That and no, you know, no, and this is not an offense to my parents, because my parents didn't know who they were. You know, my mother, my father had no idea who they were, because they were also brought up, you know, this is the way you are, this is the way you act. And, you know, and back in times of challenges, my parents, you know, lived through the Depression, everything, it was about survival. You know, it wasn't about, you know, expression. But we're moving to this time now, and the time is now, that it is about expression, that it is about being our true selves, that it's no longer about just, you know, surviving to, you know, to make it through. It's about really becoming who we are.
Right. And I also believe that every person, we come with gifts and talents that, and I feel every person that you'll talk to, you'll see a glimmer where they'll talk about something and it's like they get this excitement. I feel every person has a gift and a talent. They have a dream that they really want to do. Mm-hmm. It's just that they try to push it down or they feel like it's not right. And I think now's the time for everyone to be who they are and to live the life, the dreams that they are here to be brought. You know, I mean, obviously that gift comes from a reason.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a great point. You know, why do we have gifts? We have gifts because, well, we're here to express those gifts.
Right.
Our gifts are what we give to the world. And that's the point. That's why they're called gifts. Because we're supposed to give them, right? Yes. Yes. And yet it's so very challenging. You know, it's interesting because so many people they have gifts and they pray to God, please, you know, let me live my dream, let me live my dream. And what these same people don't realize is that the reason that they have these inspirations and these gifts is because God's been praying to them.
Right.
And God's saying, no, here's this gift. Now, please, I pray to you, go out into the world and express this gift. I've given you this gift. Now go out into the world and express this gift. And the same person's like, I've got this gift, and please, God, help me to express this gift. And you know, there's this place of leap of faith. And I think the reason that it's a leap of faith is because we're simply not brought up. We're not taught as young children that we're here to express our gifts.
Right.
And I'm going to guess that there's very few people listening tonight or even on the archives who were brought up with parents who said, you know what, go out and express your gifts.
Right. In fact, most people discourage it, or you feel discouraged to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I can definitely see a struggle. It's like, well, what am I going to do with it? Or, you know, how can this affect? Or how am I going to feed my family with this
right.
gift? And, yeah, definitely, I can definitely see
right.
the challenges and the faith in that. But I also can see the beauty and love in the taking that leap of faith and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Being supported by it.
Yes. Yes. Do you think that things are changing now too, that more people are raising their children to be in touch with their gifts and to follow their inspirations?
I do too. I think we have a ways to go, but definitely I think it's getting bigger and better, and I think it will as time goes on. I mean, one thing that I want to do in my lifetime is I want to create a type of school for children,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the things I want to promote, is to have the kids work with their dreams and their talents and their gifts. And I would just love to see more art and more creative music, or basically just a school where children are learned to what they want to learn. And I believe all children really do want to learn,
right.
and I think they're going to be pulled in the direction that they have interest in. And
mm-hmm.
I think the problem is we take a child and say, no, you got to be realistic and you have to do this and you have to do that. But I would just like to see where just a child's natural mind
mm-hmm.
goes, and
yes.
I would just love to see that
yeah.
develop. So
yes. we're living in an unnatural environment.
Right.
And what I mean by that, and this is going to be foreign to many people listening, I'm sure, is that the fact that we live on a planet and we need money in order to have food and water and a place to live is not natural. Like, this should not be, that this is an artificial way of living. Mm-hmm. And because we have this artificial way of living, we are forced, and quote unquote, to live our lives a certain way to ensure our survival and the survival of our children and our family.
Right.
And so this is why, you know, so many people have not been encouraged to live their gifts.
Exactly.
And it is, this show isn't about, you know, how this happened and you know, why this is, or even, you know, what direction we're going to go in from here, right? I've talked about this a lot on Chai with Nani on LA Talk Radio. But it's important to understand that when we go back to a natural way of living, which eventually we will because our economic system cannot support us, that what happens is we move closer to a godlike way of living.
Definitely.
And that godlike way of living really is, you know, a heaven on earth or paradise right here on the physical plane. And what that looks like is that we have abundance in all that we do, and that we don't have to worry about, you know, going to, you know, a job every day and making money in order to survive, in order to feed our children, and that you know, mothers, single or married for that matter, don't have to leave their children, their little babies or toddlers in daycare for, you know, 8 or 10 hours while they go and make just enough money to pay for rent and daycare.
Right.
You know, these are unnatural circumstances.
Definitely.
And we will move away from them. And in a world where, you know, our needs are taken care of, it will become very, very easy to follow our dreams, because what else would there be to do if we're not worried about survival? What else will there be to do? And, you know, if so, just a little side note, so if anybody's kind of like scratching their head, like, what is she talking about? This, you know, of course we need money, and how could life be without money? And believe me, just a couple of years ago, I thought the same thing. When I first started to hear these concepts, I thought the same thing. What? That doesn't make any sense. But there's a lot of information out there, and if this is something that interests you, I would invite you to check out Zeitgeist, and you can get it free online, Zeitgeist. Just kind of Google it, and there's 3 movies, I believe, and the first one's about religion and the financial institutions. The second one, I think, is just about our financial institutions, and the third one is a new one. I'm not sure what that one is about, but it will help you to understand how we've been living in a natural environment, and that we must return to a natural environment. And, you know, part of the purpose of Goddardy is to help people wake up and remember what's true and innate. The way that we are living our lives now, and the way that we're running the world, so to speak, we're destroying the world.
Right.
And within this next generation, your son, my grandson's life, or the following generation, there won't be enough natural resources on the planet to take care of everyone, which will result in, you know, wars and fighting and everything, because we'll be fighting over the natural resources. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, now is the time to wake up and look to other alternatives, that because the planet, and this is the beauty of it, the planet really has enough for everybody, and energy really is renewable. Energy is renewable in its natural state. And the way in which this relates to God is because God is renewable. Mm-hmm. I've never quite thought about it like that, but this is true, that God is renewable, and that whenever we're looking at something that's not renewable, that it's in scarcity, which may be money or oil or whatever the case may be, then we've moved away from God. But when we look in terms of what is renewable, like love, for example, like the energy and light that we receive, you know, in meditation, like the exchange of life, even, then we move closer and closer to God. And when we move closer and closer to God, then we begin to wake up. And so, you know, we're kind of like touching a lot of different bases now. And how does this relate to, you know, the shadow self or depression, as we began talking about? Well, part of depression is simply living unnatural lives, and those unnatural lives result in not being who you really are. And it's time on this planet to wake up and remember a greater truth. And that greater truth is that you really are someone.
Yes. Yeah.
That whoever you are, wherever you are, that you really are someone. I mean that. That you're someone special. This sweet young girl came to our door earlier today. And she lives down the block, and she's been here before. And I gave her one of my books, and she came back, and she was just very shy. And I told her how pretty she was, and she said, no, I'm not. And I could tell she really didn't believe it. And I thought to myself that this is part of it. This is part of this unworthiness epidemic that we must overcome as a planet. That we must wake up and remember who we really are. Because the next thing that happens after someone, you know, represses their true power and self and beauty, then it's a repression.
Right.
You know, and after the repression comes the depression. Well, let's stop it. Let's get out of it. Let's wake up and let's remind our children who they are. Let's remind each other. Let's look into the eyes of every single human being and see God. And allow everyone to look in your eyes and see God. Could you imagine what would change in a day? In one day. One day. If everyone just looked at everyone else and saw God. Because I'm telling you, if you don't see God, you're not looking deep enough. And if you can see God in another and allow another to see God in you, then how can you be depressed? Is that even possible?
Right. Yeah, definitely. That's beautifully said, yeah.
Yeah. So the way that I understand, we are either moving towards God or away from God.
Right.
That there's an energy, and it's the way that I have experienced in a meditation is that imagine the figure eight, and we all know the figure eight is the infinity sign.
Right.
And so imagine a figure eight, this infinity sign, and in the center of it is the center of the universe. And that when you move away from the universe, you're on one side of that figure eight, and you go so far out that it propels you around and comes back around, and the other side of that figure eight is moving towards, and it goes through the universe, out the other side, away, back around, and back again. And so it's constantly, like if you just make this figure eight with your hands right now, you can even feel it. You can even feel it, that there is a rhythm, and you are either moving away from or towards. And when we're moving away from, and there's nothing wrong with moving away from, it's part of the natural flow. In fact, it's necessary. You know, in order to have creation, you need darkness. You need light, you need darkness. You need left, you need right, you need up and down. You need male and female. You need these opposites, that neither one is better or worse, that they're all necessary. And so in this context of moving away and towards God, when we're moving away from God, really we're forgetting God because we're moving further away. That makes sense?
Perfect.
Yeah. And when we get so far away, in this context of this conversation today, this might represent, you know, depression or darkness. And we move so far away that this has to go, and we just let go and we give in to God. And it's at that point that we swing around and move back towards God and we start moving towards God. That's why so many people have had, you know, experiences where they've hit rock bottom.
Right. I've done that.
Yeah, me too. They've hit rock bottom, and from hitting rock bottom, you know, they, what do they say? There's nowhere but up to go.
Right.
And really what this really is there's nowhere but God to go.
Exactly, that's it.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so would you share what that has been like to you in your life, that moving back to that rock bottom, then moving back towards the divine?
For me, just looking at it now, it was one of the most purest, beautiful moments, because in that darkest moment, it was like what I thought was the worst thing that could ever happen to me. And then it was just like, well, then what? Because there seemed to be nothing could be, like, worse than my worst nightmare. I mean, it was just like I was still here in life. I was still present because I imagined myself being dead, not having anyone or different things. And even in those worst scenarios, I was still present and still there. And that really just amazed me. And as I just spent a lot of time just in complete awe. I just remember just feeling the surrender of God's love and just really just what it felt like to let go, to have faith in the sense of that I would be okay and whatever that looked like, what I didn't know what my life was going to do or who I was going to be, but it was almost like I just surrendered. And in that purest moment, just complete surrender and just love and God, I finally just realized that I could do whatever I wanted to in life. I could wake up and I could live the life I wanted to, and I could be the person I wanted to be, and that I really did have choice. Mm. Because that's really what I think most people feel in depression. They feel like they lost the choice. They feel like they have to go to work, or they have to do this, they have to do that. But when you just really hit the rock bottom, I think you just kind of get clearer with that surrender and letting go. You really do realize that how much you do choose, and you can choose to live the best life you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautifully said. Mm-hmm. Yes. But it doesn't have to take hitting rock bottom.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That at any moment that we can make a different choice.
Right.
Yeah. And that's such, I love that you said that, that you realized that there was a choice and that you didn't have to do anything. That you know, I've worked with people over the years in coaching them. That's been one of the most difficult things for people to really get, like someone said, but you don't have to do that, and they don't even, can't even understand the words, but of course I have to do that, and the reason that they think they have to do that is because they've been so programmed to do it, that we don't even realize how programmed we are, you know, and it's part of that artificial living circumstances that we were speaking about earlier,
right,
and then what we realize that so much of what we do is a program, because we've been programmed to do it artificially, and that we do have a choice, and suddenly everything changes. You know, in God, everything is possible.
Right, exactly.
Yes, everything. And that all we have to do is choose it. And that you know, we are creators here on Earth, and the way that we access our creative power, the way that we access God, isn't through choosing. It's through choosing. You know, it's a manifestation. So the way in which manifestation works is that first you have a thought. You know, yeah, I'd like that. Yeah, I'd like that. Let's see, what would your thought? What would you want to manifest? So that's what you want to manifest.
I would want to manifest now.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh huh. Yeah.
A new car.
Okay. So first you think, oh, I want a new car. Okay, and you think about that long enough, and then you start believing it. Right. I believe that I could have a new car, okay? And yeah. You just play with the believing it, and it kind of grows, and it gets more energy, right? And at some point that, in order to manifest what you want, because it's not just enough to, you know, to say it and believe it, you have to know it. So at some point, yeah, I know that I can have a new car. And still, that's not enough. At some point, there's a choice that needs to be made.
Okay.
I choose a new car. And it's at that moment in choosing a new car that everything changes. And then the universe asks us to take inspired action. Not just any action. You don't just go out and make your to-do list, and you know, but it's inspired action. And what does that inspired action look like? And at that point, the God, the universe, gets to meet us more than halfway. I'd say sometimes 90% of the way.
Right.
Because we've made a choice, and we've moved in the direction of that choice. And this is how we create magic and miracles in our lives. This is how we partner with God. This is how we awaken the God force source within us, and we become the grand creators of our own lives.
Right.
Yeah. And so when we look at depression, what we're seeing is those things don't happen. There is no thought. There is no belief. There is no knowing. There is no choice. And, of course, there's no inspired action. That there is this place of being stuck. And anybody who's ever experienced depression will probably relate to that, that they just feel stuck.
Right.
And so the cure for depression is simply choosing yourself, even if you don't know what that means. And it means dropping all the have-tos.
Right.
And it means dropping all the shoulds. And I will tell you that God has no have-tos, or as a tongue twister, or shoulds on you. Again, God has not put any restrictions or limitations on you whatsoever. 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 That the restrictions on you are ones that you put on yourself. Now, they may seem like they're put on by something external, and that something external may be, have been your parents or society or anything like that. But really, all the limitations that you experience are now of your own doing, even if they originated somewhere else. And so the first step in overcoming depression is really letting go of all those restrictions and limitations and wiping the slates clean, starting all over. That there's really nothing that you have to do. Listen to those words. There's nothing that you have to do, that it's all a choice. Now, you may not like certain consequences, so you don't think it's a choice, but it's still a choice. And to own those choices gives you power, and the power to create gives you the power to manifest the life that you truly want, now and always. And so, if you find yourself in a dark place, drop everything. Drop all the have-tos. Drop all the shoulds. Drop all the beliefs that make you get up and live your life the way that you have been. And from this clean slate, begin to examine what it is that you want. And now, there's a good chance you don't even know what that is, because you've been repressed and depressed. Nonetheless, once you clear the space, and you allow yourself to sit in that space with that naked whiteboard before you, that blank canvas before you, that something will start to percolate within you, that suddenly possibilities will begin to appear and come into your mind and show themselves to you. But it often means giving yourself in your life a little breathing room, giving yourself in your life a little space for that inspiration to come. And that inspiration is not just your inspiration. This is the inspiration of God. This, again, is how God prays to you. And if you're not sure what to do in your life or where to go, or it's because you haven't been listening to God. And it's very, very hard to listen to God through a cluttered mind. And I'll tell you that the interesting thing about depression is that instead of it being, you know, blank and numb mind, it's a very cluttered mind.
Right.
And that in order to hear God, that the mind needs to be cleared. And that means that all the have-tos, shoulds, and restrictions, rationalizations, justifications, buts, and, you know, everything else that comes in that grand package needs to be dropped. And it's your choice to drop them. There's nothing that's making you hold on to them. And by dropping them, suddenly you're in a space that you can hear the divine speak to you, that your intuition suddenly becomes alive and awake again, or maybe for the first time. That everything is possible. But first you need to clear the mind. First you need to get back in touch with the greater truth that is greater than anything in existence or physical manifestation. And the good news is that any moment, this is all available for you. Any moment, this one too. And, oh yeah, this one, of course, and now this one. Every moment is a new start. Every moment is a new thought. Every moment is a new possibility. Every moment is a new gift for you.
Right.
For you. For you. Hmm. Hmm. So we only have a few more minutes, and we're going to do the prayer circle. What wise words would you like to share with our listeners?
I just find myself in a very deep peace right now. I would just say to everyone just to be deep within yourself and just in those quiet moments you'll hear God, you know, those beautiful quiet times is when I hear God most, so thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful. So, now for our prayer circle. If this is your first time with us here on Goddergy, I invite you to think of someone or many who you'd like to pray for tonight. And this could be individuals, or this could be groups, this can be countries, this can be the world, and of course, the world. And in just a moment, we will create this circle, and I will invite you to put whoever you are praying for into this circle. And so, April, is there anyone that you would like to add to this circle tonight as we begin?
Just thinking myself and Dustin, Alton, everybody in the family.
Okay, cool. Awesome. And so, imagine a beautiful golden light moving in a circle. And imagine that this circle is dynamic, so that it just keeps moving. That's not stable. It just keeps moving. And imagine that it moves in both directions, and so that it comes around and meets itself. And imagine that this golden circle encompasses the most healing and brilliant light in the universe. And that in the middle of this circle, from up above, comes a golden ray of light that moves down into the circle. And anyone who we put into the circle will experience the healing, light, and energy of love, of the divine. And whatever it is that they are in need of healing will be healed instantly and miraculously. And so invite whoever you like into the circle and just imagine them into the circle. And you can invite as many people into the circle. And I will put all my friends and family into the circle. And I will particularly put Kelly into the circle. And I will put Kathy into the circle. And I will put all the women of Echo into the circle. And I will put the world into the circle. And the healing energy of the universe shines down upon all in the circle, bringing back health and wealth and wholeness instantly and miraculously. And it is done. It is done. It is done. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Goddergy. And please visit me on my website at nanice.com. That's nanice.com. Again, nanice.com. There's tons of articles on enlightenment. There's an article on depression in case you want to read more about that. And it's called The Upside of Depression. There's articles on love and faith and everything you can imagine. They're all framed. I have all my shows archived from Goddergy and from Chai Wet Nanice on LA Talk Radio. There's a free book download called I Am that will just bring your vibration way up and you will experience God. And even been two song downloads, Secondhand God, which we're going to listen to in just a moment, and also When That Day Has Come. And while you're there, take the pledge. It will change your life and help you change the world. And remember that you are loved by the divine, that God loves you no matter what you do, no matter where you are eternally and infinitely loved. And I loved you too with all my heart. Until next week, you have been listening to God or Jing, and now I leave you with Secondhand God. Have a great week.
Find and until I stop and turn the journey inside. Synchronicity rings true. It's now I finally see it could only have been me. I chew my destiny. Star eyed baby of mine, you've opened your mind, you've opened your eyes. Just now you've recognized that a second-hand God is just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night, fears and tears and endless frights. I held your hand, you set you free. It's not hard, now you believe. It's not hard, now you believe.